right, folks, we're going to call the Little Cal River Basin Commission meeting to order. We're going to start with Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we could call the roll.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Here.
Tom Gostecki.
Here.
Anthony Broadnix, absent. Derek Nimitz.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Present.
Ron Ware.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker. Absent. William Baker. Or is he here?
He's temporarily detained.
All right. William Baker, absent.
Let's move on to the approval of the minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion. We approve the minutes from May 9, 2018.
Second. Motion is second. Take roll call. Or voice vote? Voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, Chairman's report. Mr. Baker is traveling, so he could not be with us this evening. I'm going to take the gavel. We are in the midst of design award construction for the 2018 season to make sure that we take care of the levee system, the $270 million man-made structure, and we're moving forward on a lot of projects. So we appreciate your input, your support, and with that said, I'm going to move on to our finance report. Approval of claims for June of 2018.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we approve the claims for June 2018.
Second.
Do we have an amount, folks? All right.
In the amount of $711,547.86.
All right. We have a motion and a second.
Second.
Mr. Reed.
So we're going to go through, I'll go through some of the claims starting from the bottom, just hit some of them. If there's certainly any questions, I'd be happy to answer. The bottom ones here, mainly regarding around Chicago Title Company, our purchases of properties that we needed to acquire along Deep River as a part of our levee project that we plan on ultimately building in that area. We have two acquisitions for just over $30,000. We have one at $84,738, which, just for the record, is the old trailer park that used to be in Lake Station. And then another one for basically $53,000 split between three entities because of some family issues. That's how the closing had to go. We'll move up to the clearing work in Hart's Ditch, which what I'll get to later, $63,300. That work is the second part. That is just not his. There's subcontractors. There's folks that have to take out the trees, cut the trees up. This is in, I guess, as a result of the February 20th situation we dealt with. A lot of trees had fallen. A lot of trees were dying. Still, we have some ash trees in there that need to get rid of, and now it's been cleaned from basically Main Street all the way down to the confluence of the river. Dyer Construction for $226,837, which is about 50% payment of the 35th and Chase grade adjustment. We talked about it earlier. There were some minor changes that had to take place because we added a little bit more pipe and some fill in that area, which caused it to be above what we initially projected, but that was our change, and not something that that was just missed. We cut the grass for the first time. Believe it or not, it was snowing late April, and now we've cut it, and we'll be cutting it again beginning next week, starting the 18th, in preparation for the inspections that will take place later that month. Engineering work for both Kennedy, Harrison, as you all know, has been bid out. We're going to open those tonight. And then the Greater Indiana Title Company, $13,750 for title work for pump station easements, which is required of us by the Army Corps of Engineers to make sure that we have all the proper easements on all pump stations that are within the system from a right-of-way or road. Other than that, there are some smaller ones, Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance for $7,000. They maintain our pump stations for us. And then I think that would be the extent of all the ones I can see right now. If there's any questions on that, on the claims.
Dan?
Yes?
On the Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance, I noticed in the itemized billing a number of emergency call-outs. Everything back up and running?
Right. Some of those were due to power outages, and because you guys authorized the SCADA system to be put in, it helps us to eliminate the, I haven't been out there in a day, you know, the pump's bad. They automatically text message myself and their main contact. So we send them out regardless. If it's Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the power went out, there's a storm, we want to make sure that pump station's up and not wait till Monday morning when it could be too late and we've got people that are affected by it. So that is their call out.
Fair enough. Thank you.
The monies for Welcher, are they done now?
They're done with Hart's Ditch, yep. There's some interest of possibly doing Deep River, but we want to get a price on that because we're going to get some help from Hobart and Lake Station. We believe we're going to reduce some of the cost because of their public works folks will take away the trees for us, so the subcontractor will be eliminated in that regard.
How large of a project, if any, comparison to Hart's Ditch?
It could be much larger. The space that we're looking at that's the most problematic is just to the north of the railroad bridge that we're replacing to an apartment complex, which I can't recall the exact name. And then Lake Station has some areas off of a park that they need that is sort of just all accumulated in one spot. So it'll probably be less time-consuming, less travel with the machine, but because of the density of all the dead trees that have collected. And once again, they're all collected since February. And the problem, as it is on Hart's Ditch, as it is in Deep River, is access into that area without getting permission from a landowner or property owner. The steepness isn't the same. It's just getting to it is the issue in Deep River.
Anybody else? Okay, that's it. Ms. Mills? Sorry, Joey. Take a vote.
Tom Gosdecky.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes. All right, moving along. Project Tracker, Dan?
Sure. I'm project.
Just roll both the executive director's report and project tracker together.
Sure. I'll roll it all, everything. I'll just start here, and then if I miss. 35th and Chase, as we mentioned, through in the claims, it's about 50% complete. I know a couple of you guys have been out there. I would suspect they would start paving here soon, which would then allow that road to be open. It would remove, for those of you that are new here, that aspect of having to close the gates in that area, which would block the road under high water events. I know the fire department's ecstatic about it. The fact that we can get rid of those gates is another opportunity for man-made or man intervention by humankind to be eliminated. In that same area, in project mitigation, you receive the construction reports of the $777,000 project. They have billed out just over $250,000, I believe. They're about a third of the way done, and it's a five-year project. So, you know, you'll see some changes over there. They've definitely cleared it if you've been in there. Hobart Mitigation, you've also received those construction reports. There is a change order on a culvert that we're awaiting word on as far as the dollar amount. We have one small other change order on amount of linear feet of fence that was underestimated, but all in all, still above schedule or ahead of schedule according to that tracker. Crediting, we talked about a little bit before. We're progressing with crediting. I'm sure Natalie will talk about more crediting as far as where we are with the total project costs, and then ultimately where we hope to be with matching and approvals. We're still looking to acquire a couple more properties, as I mentioned, both in Lake Station as well as from the Gary Schools. Our 30 parcel acquisition, which were outstanding from when the beginning of this project, before I think any of us were here, we still have 30 parcels throughout the project that we need to acquire to make sure that this is complete. Most of those are inside the levee that, you know, the owner has, I guess, been gone and they can't reach them. Well, we need to finalize it, and our attorney's working on those offers. We talked about the tree clearing in Hart's Ditch, and we would be remiss not to talk about the erosion that's occurring in Hart's Ditch. We field several calls a month in several different areas of the neighborhoods about Hart's Ditch and the impacts that it's having in some of these backyards. We see it in the river itself on Kennedy Avenue with the sandbars and the sediment that's sitting there. That's all as a result of what's coming through the ditch and its erosion. So we have a meeting that the county commissioner, Commissioner Tippy, has set up along with the surveyor's office, ourselves, and the town of Munster later this month that we will hopefully develop a long-term plan to deal with this issue. I'm not sure what that looks like just yet, but you know that everyone's involved, and we've tried to get all parties that are interested. We have a benefit from it. Certainly the town has a benefit, and then ultimately the county, you know, is stepping up, and we appreciate that. So that's a big challenge. The Army Corps, to switch gears a little bit, has come out this past Monday to review the questions that we had and submitted to them as far as what went right, what went wrong in the February 20th rain/snow/frozen ground event. And they reviewed all those areas, the leaking wall, the areas where there was some rutting going on, some areas where there were some, lack of a better word, leaking levees or possible boils that developed during that event. So they're going to issue their report back to us as to what the corrective measures are going to be. And so we look forward to that, and it was interesting to go around with them. And part of that included the amount of silt and sand and sediment that was occurring in the river as a result of the erosion. We are having the pedestrian bridges that cross over the Little Cal inspected at no cost, so we want to thank the City of Hammond for doing that for us. They believe that because of the increased traffic, it's warranted. We have had them inspected 2 years ago. Our objective is every 5 years according to our standards, so by them doing this, it's only going to help us. The Hobart Railroad Bridge, it is going to be awarded. It was awarded last month pending engineer and attorney review. It was the official award amount is now $4,396,271.80. So that was a decrease of about $85,000. On the agenda, we have the Chase Street Pedestrian Bridge, which will help bridge the trails from the north and south levees. Clark Street Grade Adjustment, which will be right by Lake Etta, which will allow for, once again, no human intervention to close that area in the case of high water, which will also help the paving in that area. Inspections for Gary will begin on the 25th. It's actually Gary and Griffith. They're going to start at Klein Avenue and head to the east. So that will coincide with the grass cutting, as I mentioned before, which will begin on the 18th. All of our pump stations are in working order, and we are partnering with the USGS with a water temperature gauge at all of our monitors at no cost to ourselves. It's just they want to just add on to that. So the water temperature is an important factor to them, to the recreational component of the river. So with that, I think I hit a lot of it. If I missed something.
Any questions, commissioners?
Dan, on the meeting that you're trying to arrange with Commissioner Tippy and Town of Munster over the Heart Ditch and looking at options there, is it worthwhile to and have you reached out to Dyer and Cherryville if they are willing to maybe even attend that meeting?
The invitation has been offered to them. It was the meeting date was just solidified actually this morning, so the invitation went out and we haven't heard, but they said that any interested parties would be asked to come. So certainly anyone from this commission, and then we did invite Cherryville and Tyre.
Okay, thank you.
Dan, could you please clarify the award amount for the bridge? I'm looking at this project tracker. And
right.
Varied from
it, what you it just switched again from when we had to put the project tracker out to you guys on Friday, and they re-ran the numbers for today on the numbers. We miscalculated on the project tracker because we were trying to get the project tracker out to you, guessing it was going to be 130 deduction, and it was only an 85. So the true number, which will be corrected in project tracker, and Jody and I already talked about it because we were getting it out to you, the true number is $4,396,271.80. That's the number that is going to be signed for with the thing, and it will be adjusted in your project tracker.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, moving right along. Army Corps of Engineers, Ms. Mills.
Good evening, Maggie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Dan gave updates on quite a few of the things that I was going to be sharing, but
sorry.
I'll just continue on with the Hobart Marsh wetland mitigation work that, as indicated, that work is ongoing. They're making really good progress. They're in year two. At the end of this year, we should be getting a mitigation, like a report. So, Dan, Eric, I'm sure you'll want to see that, see how they're progressing. Looking forward to seeing that when they prepare that, just to let us know how we're progressing and making sure they're meeting their goals in order to achieve the mitigation success at the end of the project. As far as work expected within the next 2 weeks for them, they're just going to continue their clearing work and planting at the site. There's also fencing work that's ongoing, and as Dan indicated, that there are a couple of small changes that are progressing with respect to fencing as well as culvert. In project mitigation, that work was awarded in September of 2017, so they've got another 4 years on their contract. They're making pretty good progress so far. As far as the work expected is herbiciding, tree girdling is what they're working on at this time. So they've cleared quite a bit. I don't know if you guys have had an opportunity to see some of the work that they've been doing on either of the sites. And if you do want to ever get out there, just let us know and we can see the progress that these contractors are making. Further, as Dan indicated, we had the investigation on Munster, that wall that was leaking during that February event, and we are going to be preparing a report that you all will be able to review and see what the path forward is on that piece. As far as crediting is concerned, you know, we have the NDOT package that is valued at $14 million. It's a really big package that we're reviewing at this time. We're scheduled to be completed with that review by the end of this month. And we are coordinating the approval level. And I previously reported that headquarters might have to review and approve that package, but we were working with our division office to come up with alternatives to having to go to headquarters because that added an additional time frame. So we're just trying to push that along, and once I have a definitive answer on the approval, I'll be able to share that with you all.
So that hasn't been established?
The paperwork has been submitted, but as far as approval, that has not occurred.
Okay. And Natalie, can I ask a question?
Sure.
It's my understanding that before all that can go down, total project cost has to be identified.
Well, this $14 million has already been anticipated and included in the $14 million.
Right, but as far as what, when will we have a final number based on what we know about the project's cost?
As a final total project
yes.
cost? I mean, you won't know that completely until the end because...
So when is the end?
So the end for us, as you can see, is 2023. But we have estimates that we're working from. So based on historically the admin packages, which is like we discussed, Dan and Jody's time, we've anticipated what we think those costs will be going through the end. So I'll work with our accountants to update and rectify any inconsistencies, and I'll get something back with you all for the next meeting.
Awesome, thank you.
You're welcome. Also, regarding the letter of map revision for the Forest Avenue piece, I brought Chris Gaines here from FEMA to give an update to the group. So Chris, I'm gonna ask you to come forward, please.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. The status of the letter of map revision as it stands now is we're undergoing a political boundary revision based on a discrepancy in the existing effective maps, and we're working with the city of Hammond and the town of Munster to with concurrence on those political boundaries. Once the boundaries receive concurrence, we will revise work maps and send those out to the communities. Once everything is agreed upon, the letter of map revision will be issued, which just means that's the beginning of a statutory 90-day appeal period. We don't anticipate any appeals, but you never know. Once the appeal period closes, assuming everything is, you know, there no issues arise there, we have a 30-day processing period, which is just for administrative purposes, and then the letter of map revision will become effective.
So, with regards to this political boundary revision, when do you anticipate having that answer?
We are expecting concurrence by Friday of this
okay.
week. We're expecting. That's an estimate.
Does that mean like they'll agree where Hammond ends and Munster starts?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Unfortunately, it's a pretty common occurrence. So.
And then the clock starts ticking at that point?
Once we receive concurrence, the maps will be reissued based on those revised boundaries for a final look. And then once everything is agreed upon, the letter of map revision will be issued, which will begin the 90-day statutory appeal period.
So what's the anticipation once of the timing on the reissuance?
The timing of the reissuance, we're looking at the first week of July.
Okay. Just trying to get a timeline here.
Any other questions, gentlemen?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Welcome.
You all set, Natalie?
Yes.
We're all good?
Yes.
All right.
Unless there are any other
any questions, commissioners, for Natalie? Okay.
What?
Derek,
were you
saying that you missed something?
Dan had issued to us some of the answers in writing from questions from a few previous meetings ago.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of the people that have attended these meetings have asked for the answers in writing, and I don't know if if you provided these to Dan or...
I did provide them to Dan, so I wasn't sure how Dan wanted to disseminate
them. I just gave it to them. I'm sure there's some residents, I don't know, we'll get them somehow out there to people that are interested.
Okay.
Unless you have some extra time.
I have one.
That's all
right. That's all I was going.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, moving on to new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to open bids for the bridge number 248 on Harrison Street over the Little Calumet River in Gary, Indiana, and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder pending review by engineer, attorney, and staff. Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Vote.
Tom Bezdecky.
Oh. Discussion, I'm sorry. Dan?
The only thing, we sent it out, I believe, to 19 different companies. I believe 8 showed up to the mandatory pre-bid meeting. 4 submitted by 3 p.m. today, which was the deadline. And we'll see what we get here. We'll just open them in the order I think that we got them, or someplace close, but there's only 4. So as soon as I open them, I'll tally them, I'll give you an unofficial total as to what we have, and then we'll sit down with DLZ, who designed it, to make sure that everything is in order.
Anybody else? Questions? Good.
All right. Oh. Tom Bezdecky.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tell you when I'm ready.
But, we'll move through to some other stuff, and then Dan will just let us know when he's ready to go.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve an agreement with DLZ Engineering to provide construction engineering services for bridge number 248 on Harrison Street over the Little Calumet River in Gary, Indiana, in the amount not to exceed $179,880.
Okay.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion and second? With that being said, no questions. Vote.
Tom Bezdecky.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
All right, moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the Executive Director to advertise 4 bids on the Clark Road Grade Adjustment Project.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion.
I have a point to make. Mr. Chair, I'd like to know that when we do advertise for these bids, is there going to be any advertisement regarding minority participation in any of these bids for the work that we're expecting to do?
That's okay.
Dan?
As a part of the bid packet, that is included the resolution that we passed, I believe it was 3 years ago or 2 years ago, 3 years ago at this time,
right.
that cites the resolution, also the state statute that which they should be governed by. But as we talked about in the session, we will even take a closer look when I even open these things as to see what is transpired or what attempts have been made. So
that point is that. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think that suffices. You know, okay. To see what attempts that the submittals have made to fulfill that.
I'm just looking at numbers right now. So
any other questions on the motion? Lambert?
Tom Bezdecky.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes. All right, we're going to learn along.
All right, Mr. Chair, I would like to put forth a motion to authorize the executive director to advertise for bids on the Chase Street Pedestrian Bridge Project.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Questions on the motion. This is a bridge. Right now, there's no connection point from the north trail to the south trail in the Gary area from, is it Clark Road?
Well, yeah, right now it's on Chase Street. In 2011, we took out the four culverts because they were all collapsing, which caused the flow not to even go through that area. So we took out that entire area and made it probably about 50-foot wide, 70-foot wide channel. So there has been, folks wanting it, and I know on the board to have a connection because it does connect the bike trail, allows people to get along on the south side of the levee near the Grand Street Marsh area that we have that's a wetland area. So this will accomplish that. And so people will be able to take non-motorized vehicles, walking or whatever, to go across and visit the north side of the levee and then come along on the south. Even though both sides are paved, going on the south side in that area is probably a little bit more scenic than the expressway.
I would agree. Any other questions? Ms. Lambert?
Tom Gosdecky?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
Tom Lashinsky?
Yes. All right. Moving along.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to put forth a motion to approve the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission's second addendum to the Executive Director's Employment Agreement.
I have a motion.
I second.
I have a second. Any discussion on the motion? That said, we'll go ahead and take a vote.
Tom Gosdecky?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
Tom Lashinsky?
Yes. Next item up.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to fund the restoration of marshes along the Little Calumet River, including the marsh bird monitoring, for the amount of $150,000 per year over 2-year period. Just to clarify, these funds would be used for boots on the ground restoration, including invasive plant control, planting of native vegetation, monitoring of marsh birds, and the installation of potential of platforms for marsh birds.
Second. Motion and a second. Any questions on the motion? With that said, Ms. Lambert?
Tom Gosdecky?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
Tom Lashinsky?
Yes. And then we have another item on the agenda, and we are going to move that to the July meeting. We're waiting on some additional information so we can act on this motion. It has to do with the approval of the watershed application for the Meadowdale Lateral Flood Basin Storage. Hopefully we can have that answer by the next meeting so we can act upon that. All set, Mr.
Yep.
Repay?
So here are the unofficial numbers, just the way that they were opened. Ellis Construction, LLC, $2,780,844.35. Reith Riley, $2,658,967.64. Ellis Construction, Inc., $2,357,547.25. McHugh Construction Company, $3,382,000. Those are the four, and so those will be, they'll be made available in our office tomorrow. And so if you want to take a copy of it, take a picture of it later on after the meeting, feel free.
All right, with that, we're going to move to the next item, which is statements to the floor. We'd like to keep the statements at 3 minutes each. Want to come up and let your voice be heard? Name, address, town, city.
Rank and serial number. Okay. I'm Linda Anguiano. I'm from Hammond. I've been here before. And what was the other name? Town?
That's good.
Okay. I'm here again because of my concern and several environmentalists who could not be here concern with my energy project And as we look through the materials that Dan Repe provided to one of my colleagues, it looks as though their original license expired June 1 of 2017, was renewed for 6 months, about to expire again, and renewed for another 6 months. And there's nothing that we see in minutes or on the agenda where it was renewed a third time. And so we would like to know the status of that. And if at all legally possible, we would really like you to rescind the license and not issue a lease for many, many reasons that I believe other people have come here before and expressed.
Thank you.
Good evening, Lori Zolmo, 7142 Forest in Hammond. You know, my husband isn't with me tonight, and he would tell me not to poke the bear, but we all know that that isn't going to happen. So I'm going to take this opportunity to poke the bear. We have a representative of FEMA here tonight, and I'm going to poke the bear because, frankly, at the speed FEMA works, I'm just checking to make sure it's not dead. Based on the numbers tonight, it looks like we're looking at now maybe November at the earliest. Yeah, 22 pieces of property. Again, I'm coming up on 10 years coming to these meetings. I can't understand why every time I come, we push it out another 30 days, another 60 days, another 90 days. My neighbors are unhappy. They continue to be unhappy. The government works for us. We don't work for the government. We pay the salaries. And again, we continue to get pushed back. Now, after months, I'm sure I can go back in my notes and look in January and February and March. Now we're going to talk about where Hammond and Munster live next to one another. I don't think it's moved. I don't think it's moved since the last time they made arrangements to do something like this. Again, I'm very disappointed in FEMA. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. My name is Diane Durochak, D-Z-U-R-O-C-H-A-K. You can't figure out how to spell it from just saying it. I'm from Highland. I previously lived in Hammond. I moved away and was gone for a very, very long time, have been back a couple of years. I'm thrilled to see that there is a commission and to see all the good work that you do. I'm just learning this tonight, and so I want to commend you for that, because that's exciting for me to see. When I was a kid growing up, when it was the 60s, pollution was at its worst here, the industry was at its worst. Our parents told us, stay out of the water, just don't go in it. Don't go in the little cow, don't go in ditches, don't go in creeks, stay out. So it's exciting to see all the work that's been done. But by the same token, I'm completely confused as to how a project like Maya was even considered at all. It seems completely counterproductive to everything that you do on an ongoing basis. And it's a lot of hard work, and I can see that from just reading the minutes. So, I don't understand why this area is doing something so regressive, so environmentally destructive, after all the headway that has been made since I was a kid growing up here and there was black stuff floating in my swimming pool. You know, I do not understand how this project has been given a moment of attention by this group or by any of the local politicians. Politicians who represent the community that lives here, that the river runs right through their neighborhoods, for people who voted for them, who, if it floods again, and you're doing everything you can to keep it from flooding again, but as you know, we all know, we can't predict that. We can't predict that it's never going to happen again. You know, if this thing is leaching into our river basin, you know, who knows what the impact is going to be. And so I would like to voice my complete opposition to that project and my disappointment. Having lived in California, where people are so environmentally conscious and so concerned about the beautification and the improvement of where they live for their quality of life, it seems completely confusing to me that this group is not in that mindset. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
Thank you. Commissioners. My name is Bill Connor. I live at 9953 Twin Creek Boulevard in Munster. I'm also representing the Holchester family who lives at 9937 Twin Creek Boulevard and Dr. Shaw who lives at 10001 Twin Creek Boulevard in Munster, Indiana. I'm here to ask for your help. We are having what I describe as hyper erosion in our area right there. It's hyper since about 5 years ago. There's normal erosion, obviously, along a ditch. We all know that. This is more than normal. A fence has fallen in. Another fence is about to fall in. My shed's about to fall in. My shed's 10 foot from falling in to the creek. I've contacted my insurance company and various other folks. No one can answer what's going to happen once that shed goes in the creek. I talked to Mr. Rupay, who was a very fine gentleman, took my call, talked to me the first time I called him, and I really appreciate his help. I really feel that he's looking at the situation and is trying to help. The issue becomes, obviously, a strategic plan to fix this thing once and for all. You all know more about the ditch than probably anybody else in this room. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but this has been an ongoing issue since the 1990s. It's gotten worse. New homes went up in Park West, and with that situation, that's increased the erosion that we have in our area there, about tenfold, like I say, within the last 5 years. It's hitting off the walls, the water's streaming down, we have the big rains, hits off the bends in the creek, it spins in inertia, hits off our walls, undercuts the walls, and everything starts to fall in. With that in mind, again, we're having the land collapse in, we're having what appear to be sinkholes developing, a cement patio has fallen in, there's lots of double-digit feet in our backyards over the last, what, 5 years. My shed, again, is 10 foot from the ditch. We've lost the fences, and it's dangerous. I was very privileged that one of the council members came to my house the other day to look at it, and she actually described how the land started to collapse as she stepped on towards the edge there, a little closer. Our sump pump drainage pipes, mine's broke, it's gone. The neighbor's is about to go. Lynn, I'm not sure if yours is still there or not, but it's an issue. I understand it should be a strategic issue. We're nobody special. We're just good taxpaying citizens like everybody else, just asking for your help. The whole thing has got to be fixed for everyone. But there are certain homes you're going to find and certain properties that you already know about probably that are having an extenuating problem, sort of an emergency issue. So I'm asking that you, for your help, to look at this and make any considerations that you can to look at that. But so I have, unless any of you have any questions for me, I thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I had three handouts here, so to speak. I apologize, I didn't make more. Well,
that's okay. Yeah. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Brandon Dothager of Highland, Indiana. I am here to oppose the My Energy project. I have actually gone around with the comment that I'll be sending to IDEM in regards to this project. And of the 38 people that I asked yesterday for signatures, I was able to get 30 people to sign it. This commission was established. One of the main reasons, actually, when we go back, was the floodplain concerns. So I represent a community that is in the northeast corner of Highland, Indiana. I'm the Democratic Precinct Committeeman. I'm not on the town council or anything. But still, this is the community that is 3 miles upriver from the proposed project. And I understand that the our community has seen flooding, obviously, and even in recent projects from the Little Calumet River Basin, I believe it cost $217 million to repair the flooding at Cabela's. I'm not exactly an accountant or an environmental scientist, so I apologize. I can only do the research that's available to me online, but the commission was established to protect the floodplain and for environmental reasons. Not only is this project not an environmental reason, they intend to import trash from Chicago. It's not serving a public need for the local area. Really, I don't see any reason why the Little Calumet River Basin Commission would want their name anywhere near this type of project. Basically, I've spoken with my residents about the floodplain concerns. Obviously, with changes in climate that are expected over the next few decades, you know, I'm 24. I intend to live there for as long as I can, and I'm hoping that that's beyond like 2035 or so. And so I feel like, you know, obviously I'm not going to go and say, oh, my energy is going to cause flooding on my, well, no, that's not particularly the case. But every little bit counts. And the purpose of this commission is to protect those lands. And I just hope that the commission holds up to its purpose by canceling or denying or not renewing this lease. You guys ultimately have the power over this because you're the ones that possess the land. And so if you wanted to, you could stand up against this. And that's not even mentioning the fact that it's across from a school. I just mentioned environmental concerns to you. So there's a variety of issues with this project. I ask that you listen to them with open ears. There's a lot of concerned citizens here. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Katie Curley, and I stand before you as a proud resident of Gary, Indiana, and an even prouder principal of Steel City Academy, which is 96.4 feet away from the proposed My Energy site. We were here with kids and some parents a few months ago, so I'm coming back to, you know, bring a face and assure you that we are still here and we are still thinking about this, and your decision to lease or deny the lease to Maya has massive implications for our school and our short and long-term facilities, and ultimately the educational experience that we provide our kids. I stood before you a few months ago and continue to share stories about how much we value your work and your land, and whether it's our new Girls on the Run club that uses that trail every single day, our environmental justice club, our science classes. We value, appreciate, and take full advantage of the beautiful environment that the Little Cal provides us as we're nestled right against your property. So we ask that you do not extend the lease agreement. We were curious if this was going to be a conversation tonight, seeing that we know the lease is up around July 1st. I am very curious on when this decision will be made because it has massive implications for our school. We went down to Indianapolis with 473 written comments to IDEM against this from our students, our parents, our community leaders. And I just stand before you and could not attest more to the fact that we hope that you side with the community of Gary and do not extend this lease to Maya.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, hello again. This is about the third or fourth time I've been here asking this question. I may have missed the answer tonight. I don't think I did, but it's about the height of the wall on Hart Ditch in regard to the February 20th event, and there was supposed to have been a written report last month.
I have a copy, Barb, but you can have mine.
Oh, perfect. Okay. I saw two gentlemen out there, I think, last week measuring, and they seemed to indicate to me that they were the same height, but I still find that hard to believe.
Go ahead.
Sometimes using levee and wall are sort of sometimes merged together. The walls themselves are going to be the same height. So the wall on Hawthorne and the wall that's behind the pavilion at Wicker Park are probably the same height. But when you say take the wall on Hawthorne against the earthen levee on Wicker Park, they are different.
Right. No, so, I'm talking about the walls, just the concrete walls. Concrete the same.
Wall, but remember, as Hawthorne goes further down towards Fairway, it merges into a levee.
Right.
And whereas on the Wicker Park side, just shortly past the pavilion, it merges already into a levee there. So there's the variation, and I could meet you out there and show you, but the walls are the same. The levee on the other side on Wicker Park is higher than the wall on Hawthorne. And you'll read that in that
report.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. May I have that then?
Yes, ma'am.
I got an extra copy.
You got an extra copy?
Yeah.
Then you have to walk all the way back.
Yeah, here you go. Hold on.
Thanks.
Hold on, I'll get to it. I'm sorry. That's okay. I know I have it here.
Yes, sir. Your comment?
Sure. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Terry Stiegel, Highland resident and concerned citizen. And I guess what it is, I have some questions about the Maya licensing agreement, and I was hoping to get some clarification if I could. First thing is there was a non-binding agreement that was authorized on March 9th, 2016. And then it shows, it looks like it's on April 12th, the letter of intent for the lease agreement was signed. The documents dated November 10th, and that could be because on the signature page, there is no date for the people that had signed off. And this document, they did sign off on the document, so both parties did agree to the letter.
Do you have a question? Do you have a question, sir?
Yes. Is the date correct or not?
I don't have those documents in front
okay,
of me.
Okay,
so
that's the letter of intent. It's dated November 10th. But it looks like it was signed on April 12th.
Would you like me to answer that?
Just go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
As I think I've explained to you and anyone else that asked that question, I think the document was dated November 10th, and in hindsight, it would be a perfect world to have a signature block with a date block next to it, but the document was signed after you guys authorized it and after it was approved by our attorney. Because there were some changes made from the original document that was initially sent in to us on November 10th. And we can show the changes that were made. But
And I assume that.
Can those be made available to the public?
I can make them available to everyone. I've sent them to everyone, and I can make them available to you.
I guess my point here is there is a point of order here in the document, which I think you followed there. It was authorized by you folks on the 9th of March. And it was signed probably on approximately April 12th. And as the executive director said, it probably wasn't a date lock on the signature page. So it was authorized, and both parties signed to the document. So
which we do here. We will
sure.
Make motions and authorize the executive director to enter into agreements. We don't know the exact dates that those
sure.
agreements
and but like I said, you follow the procedure there. Just sometimes mm-hmm. the dates like the next question I have, though. And you probably have this information too. At what date or what meeting did the commission authorize the signing of the license agreement that was executed with Maya? And if you don't have that at the moment, I understand.
Yeah,
but that's a question I have, okay? Because I have no documentation of when that was authorized by the commission. So then we get to the license agreement, which was a document that was prepared, and again, it was signed by both parties. So it was signed by the Maya Energy and Little Cane River Basin, which is no problem. You have the right and authority to do those kinds of things with the license agreement. The one question I do have, did Maya Energy at that time also submit to you a check for $8,341.67? And do we still have those funds in escrow?
Yep. That is true.
Okay.
They did send it to us, and we did deposit it.
Okay. All right. That clarifies that then. And then I guess the next question leads to the extensions. On May 22nd, Maya Energy requested an extension, a 6-month extension. It was May 22nd, 2017. On June 14th, 2017, the minutes reflect that the commission did approve the extension. Okay, what I don't see and what needs to happen here, because it should be an amendment or addendum to the...
Hey, we're coming up on 3 minutes.
Okay, if you'll let me just finish here. But I don't see anything to show where... There was an amendment or addendum at that time for that 6 months extension. And likewise, The same thing on December 7th, which a request for extension was made. And in January 10th, the commission granted, as a board, authority for somebody to execute that document. But I don't see the document where there was an addendum or amendment to the list licensing agreement.
If you require documents, we could provide those.
Okay.
If you submit FOIA requests, we'll provide
them. And I guess my point is, if there was never an amendment or addendum attached to those two extensions, there is no valid license agreement with Maya at this time, and therefore you would have the authority to void that licensing agreement.
I think that's a question for the attorneys.
At this point, I'm
not an attorney. We got the commissioners up here. And we're already exceeded the 3 minutes. So.
And I think we could also go to the fact that if there's a dispute about that and it's a problem, I think what the commission did with the attorney general over the sale of the property to get clarification, they asked for an opinion from the attorney general.
Yes, we did.
And that was wise. And if we have to do that with the Maya situation, let's utilize those resources and see where we go then. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Carolyn Marsh, Whiting, Indiana. I speak as a 28-year member of National Audubon Society and an active bird conservationist in the bi-state area. And I just reviewed the plan for the bird conservation area along the Little Calumet River. I think there's some really excellent spots that marshland that will be restored. And the $300,000, I understand, will not be going to salaries. And I think if that's my understanding, and that's one of the things I wanted to know, because this is $1 million part of your partnering in $1 million grant, bigger costing project for only 2 years. Now this conservation area project for birds is going to be a multi-million-dollar project going on for years and years and years. I'm very excited that the Highland Rookery is the priority for restoration. And there's organizations, Dunes Calumet Organization, Dunes Calumet Audubon Society, Sand Ridge Audubon Society have a history with this it's the Great Blue Heron Rookery, and we would like input in it. So what I am asking is that with your donation of $300,000 toward the Regional Audubon, which is in leading this project, they're the Chicago office, regional office of Audubon. There's the chapter, the Dunes Calumet Audubon Society chapter, which I'm a member of and board member of and the conservation chair of. And what we would like is inclusion of these organizations, Dunes Calumet, Sand Ridge Audubon, and anyone else who has a history with areas along the Little Calumet River. If Audubon is the office in Chicago that has all the data, there's been a huge amount of data collected, we would like that this would be a lot of transparency would occur, that we had access to the data and that we have input and that our opinions are respected. I also want to say that I'm confused as well with the Maya Energy, which is near the Little Calumet River. And if there's going to be a multi-million-dollar restoration for bird habitat along the river, I don't see how this Maya Energy fits in with that concept. So I am really concerned about putting a Maya energy, which is a negative, you know, in my opinion, next to what millions of dollars that are going to be invested in restoring habitat along the river. But I do want to commend that the heron rookery, the great heron rookery, there's no herons there. There won't be any more herons there. But it's still worth restoring, and we want to work with you. I want to work with you, people that my friends want to work with you. And we want this to be totally transparent and inclusive, and that the Audubon office is understood that this money, with this money, that there has to be this kind of open state and working together.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Samuel Henderson. I live at 670 DeKalb Street in Gary, Indiana, and I am a staff attorney for the Hoosier Environmental Council. That's why I'm here today. I have a little handout, so I'll just give that to Mr. Reed here.
Sure.
You got an upper going on. Okay. And I just wanted to prepare that so, I think a lot of people come up here and say a lot of things, so I hope to make it a little more clear that I'm not just spouting off up here. I do want to thank Jody very much for helping me get my briefcase back after the last meeting, and Mr. Ripe for the great support he's given to all the people who have come and asked questions. I guess it's my understanding from what I've heard tonight and from what I've seen that although the letter of intent was approved by this body, and the extensions of the license agreement have been approved, there was never a vote on the license agreement itself. I don't know if that's categorically true, but I'm going to speak about some additional reasons why the commission should consider, shall we say, stepping away from this agreement. Those reasons are essentially that it is, as I stood up here and argued before, not authorized by the commission's authorizing statute. Also that it is, at this point in time, void by its own provisions. The license agreement is void by its own provisions. And that if the commission does continue forward with this arrangement, it would create significant potential for liability for the commission. In particular, I was really interested to discover that there was quite a lot of litigation involving this commission, although you usually stay out of the courts, but back in the 80s, when it was necessary to take the storied institution called Lefty's Coho Landing for the Portage Marina, there was a great deal of litigation about that, and at that time, the Court of Appeals came to the opinion that that use of eminent domain was appropriate because the powers of this commission were limited just to the work of essentially waterway maintenance and related projects. So I would say that, in addition to the language of the statute itself and the language of the devise from the state of Indiana to the commission, all contribute to saying that this license agreement is not authorized by the statute that governs this body. My second point is that My Energy has not received the permit it needs for construction of its facility. It's explicitly spelled out in the citation there under the Indiana Administrative Code that to build, not just to operate, but to build a solid waste processing facility, you must have your solid waste processing permit in hand. So under the terms of the license agreement, Maya was originally required to have that permit in hand on June 1st, 2017. It's not entirely clear to me whether the extensions were operative as to that provision, but if they were...
We're right at the 3 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. And I have my other point there, but you have that in front of you, so
thank you very much. Thank you. All right.
Can you just refer to this document one more time that you gave me?
Second bite at the apple there, Ms. Whitaker.
I noticed it's not signed or dated. I mean, who did this and when did they do it? That's my question.
I can have a copy of the report. I think that's an important thing.
You can keep that version.
We'll find out for you.
That
being said, our next meeting will be... Oh, we got one more.
Hi. My name is Julie O'Connor. I live in Munster. I have corresponded previously with Mr. Repay about the Maya Energy Project. I do just want to say thank you for all the help and information that he has provided. He's been very responsive. Tonight there were a number of questions about that license agreement. I too am kind of wondering where it stands. Can we have that on the agenda for next month to talk about?
I believe.
Get some clarification.
I believe it will be on the agenda for next month.
Okay, great.
I can say that, but I'm not the chairman. The chairman decides what's on the agenda and what's not. That's how it works.
Does he take input?
Yeah. How do we reach him?
Ask his wife.
We can keep standing here talking afterwards, you know, indefinitely. We'll keep doing that if that's what you want. But it'd be better if you just put it on.
Well, when the agreement was entered into as part and parcel of the agreement, the agreement doesn't proceed unless they get all their permits. They don't get their permits, it goes away. The last permit, or maybe there's more, I'm not sure. I can check with Mr. Chairman here, or Mr. Executive Director. Is the IDEM permit, are there other permits beyond that?
I think they just need that IDEM permit.
So they're waiting for, I guess, an answer on the IDEM permit. IDEM hasn't responded yet. I think they extended the comment period with regards to this.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a hearing and they had some questions and they still haven't decided. We don't check on it. I don't.
Yeah.
It's not like it's by the list of things that we do. It's not on a high level of checking on their work. It's mainly up to Maya to check on when that permit comes through.
Because it all had to do with them obtaining the correct permits, zoning, whatever they
right.
needed.
Right.
Beyond that, we were kind of hands off of it. So to speak.
It's in your floodplain. It's under your watch.
The chairman, Mr. Baker, will take input on what should be on the agenda or what we're asking to be on the agenda.
You could send messages through Mr. Repay or Jody as far as what's on the agenda. I can't control what he puts on the agenda.
Great.
How do we do that? An email?
Email, I would think, is probably sufficient, and he could forward it on to him.
Yeah, I didn't bring my cards.
Jody, can you provide your...
We'll get you emails.
Yep,
I believe we have emails on the
On
our website.
Yeah,
it is on the website.
If you go to our website, I think all the contact information is there for all the commissioners.
It'll improve traffic, too.
What's that?
It'll improve the traffic to the website, too.
Yeah, it'll improve our hits.
Anything else while I'm up here? Do I still have time in my 3 minutes?
I'll give you a couple more seconds. Go ahead.
All right. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Steve Trusian from Holbert and Gary. I own the property adjacent to the Maya Energy Project. I'm very much opposed to it. As all these other people have said, this is pretty much contrary to your charge and your good work that you've done. To kind of help with the discussions you were having with the previous person, there is a requirement for their waste permit and item that they have either ownership or a lease of the land. They don't have that. So IDEM isn't issuing a permit because they really don't have this land. So I think you can stop this thing by not renewing their licensing agreement, because I don't think the licensing agreement is really sufficient for IDEM to issue a permit anyway. So this thing's been going back and forth. I've been arguing with IDEM for 2 years about this. It's like a never-ending process here. But the whole situation with this, by paving 35 acres right near the river, which is certainly not going to help the flooding at all, they've shown a couple of detention ponds on their site, on their site plan, which can't possibly work because there's no difference in elevation in the land and the runoff area. I mean, this ditch that's in front of there is full of water most of the time. So, you know, for them to be able to say that we can comply with the Rule 5 of IDEM for stormwater detention, this site can't do that. This is just a bad place for it. It needs to go someplace else. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. Point of order.
Yeah.
She had a question. Do you have a question?
I kind of am following up on what Julie O'Connor was asking. So obviously there's a lot of people in this meeting that are here concerned about Maya Energy.
Yes.
And your response to Julie was that you guys were waiting on IDEM's process or whatever, but I want to make clear that that is not the case. The case is that the land belongs to the Little Calumet River Basin Commission. It can't be built. I can't come onto your house and just throw up like a treehouse. And so yes, I've definitely already spoken.
Yes.
And if you want to cut me off on that purpose, but these people deserve answers here. And your original purpose that this commission was created for is to protect this land. And this is what these people are concerned about, and it's concerning to me that the public seems more concerned with protecting this land than the people that sit on the board in charge of protecting the land. So I want an answer. I want an answer on when this will be addressed, when, you know, what is going on with the filings, when it expires, when it will be renewed, when another vote will be taken on it. That's the very least what these people
are
to take their time out of it and come in today.
As I said previously, I believe it will be on the agenda next month, but I do not set the agenda.
Would you be able to maybe make a commitment that maybe more licensing agreements won't be signed until there's a public hearing on the matter?
I can't answer that question.
Yeah, that's an open-ended question. I can't answer that.
Sir, if anyone has already spoken, you're more than happy to stick around and we can answer questions that way for folks who have already spoken. Otherwise, it's a little out of order at the moment.
Okay, thank you. I understand.
Okay. Hi, Roz Jovanovich of Munster. I've been here previously and have asked you to terminate the license agreement. I did have meetings with Dan. Like Julie said, he's been great and so responsive. I did have a specific question about the license agreement, and I'm glad that Attorney Wicklund is here tonight, because the answer that I get is, let's say in the future, should we need that land back for flood protection? The answer I've been getting is, we can get it back. My question is, what does that cost us? So if Maya builds a $60 million facility on that land, and then they, in turn, obviously finance it through public funds, like, what happens? Do we just get to take the land? Do we have to pay them $60 million? How do we get that back?
Mr. Whitman?
You want me to answer, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead and answer it. If you do have an answer. Right?
The agreement provides that if it's required, we take it back without cost. They eat it, so to speak. And they take that risk, and so does their lender.
And the IFA is financing this?
I don't know who's financing it. I'm just saying, if they're financing it and they have to go to a lender, the lender has
to be
aware.
So the lender has absolutely, essentially, no collateral on the deal.
It's being built on public land, and you don't know who's financing it?
Out of order.
You don't know.
You're up, ma'am.
I'll ask the question. You don't know who's financing it? My understanding, there's an IFA application, a deal. Dan, do you know?
No,
The information that we have is available on our website, and you can review all the documents there. The license agreement is probably also on that website.
Here's the misunderstanding, if I could just try to clear this up after hearing, because I've spoken with a lot of these folks, and it's fine, it's enlightening, it sort of helps clear the air. We don't have a dog in the fight, but for, I know everyone's going to say, we own the land. I get it. But the agreement, if you've read it, says that they have to do all this stuff. So I don't go to the financing. I don't go to the bank with them. I don't go present anything. I don't go do their permits. All we do is tell them this is what they have to do. And it's our choice whether we want them to build or not build. So specific questions about what they do and how they do it isn't us. It's them. And that's a private matter.
I think what spurred this question for me was looking through the item application. And on here, there's a property owner section. And I understand from reading the license agreement that if there are environmental issues on the 35 acres, that Maya is essentially responsible for that. However, Maya is not a proven operator. I'm not sure what their credit rating would be. That would be something that you should probably look into, because if they go bankrupt, here on the application it does say, please note that in accordance with, okay, I'll just skip the code, but with accordance with the code, the owner and operator and perimeter of the solid waste facility and the owner of the land upon which the facility is located shall be liable for any environmental harm caused by the facility. So when I'm looking at this deal, I'm thinking that if they go bankrupt, belly up, you guys are on the hook. Public's on the hook. And I'm curious, not only from an environmental standpoint, but also if you need the land back, and there are, you know, I don't know, I mean, how this works. Are they basically not financing it? I find it hard to believe that a lender would lend on something that there's no collateral behind. You see my concern? Do you understand my concern?
I can appreciate your concern,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right. You don't care. So you're
Excuse
saying,
me?
So the answer from it.
Excuse me? Did you say something, young lady? You said I don't hear?
I cannot say anything.
No, but the lady behind you. I hear just fine, thank you.
So for the record, basically, you can get the land back at no cost?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next meeting will be held on July 11th. Do I have a motion for adjournment? Oh, I'm sorry. Comments? We'll start with the comments from commissioners.
None.
Derek?
Yeah, I just want to say that, to be honest with you, I'm kind of excited for improving habitats for marsh birds along our Little Cottonwood River. I would love to see some of Indiana state endangered birds, such as marsh wrens and rails, actually have improved habitats. And I think this is an exciting opportunity for Northwest Indiana, for our natural resources to improve habitats. And I would love to see some of the results of the monitoring. So before work, where there's a lot of invasive plants, such as reed canary grass and common reed and purple loosestrife, improved habitats. Not only is it a beautification project, but it's a project that we could feel good about, improving our natural resources in Northwest Indiana. So I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Thomas?
I'd just like to thank all the public input with regards to the Maya issue. It's appreciated. Exciting to see so many people passionate about it. You know, there's a long timeline of events that transpired, and I'm not sure everybody quite understands that timeline and takes into consideration the costs that other people have already invested. They didn't know that school was going to be there. The Gary Planning Commission approved the project. So don't sit here and dictate to what you think is the right thing or not the right thing. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, but there was certainly lots of time and effort spent by people looking to develop that parcel prior to the school's existence. And the school was initially denied a permit to operate there. For some reason that changed. So we're not privy to all that. We're just are looking to do our due diligence, which we feel we have done. Thank you.
Levon?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Just want to thank everyone for coming out and showing your interest and expressing yourselves regarding whether it's the Audubon project, Ms. Marsh, or whether it's other projects associated with Little Calumet as it relates to our project restoration and mitigation projects, and or whether it's the opposition to Meyer Energy. Just want to thank everyone for coming out and voicing their concern. I continue to say I'm the Gary, Indiana representative on behalf of the mayor, and it's always enlightening to see folks come out. As you can see, we're doing, you know, more work. It's construction season. Got a few projects that we approved tonight, and some things in correspondence to questions that were raised back in February from the flood. So that's my discussion on that. One of the things I do want to say is sometimes it's a little misleading to in an economically depressed area such as what Gary might be defined as. You get several of those types of areas all around the country for numerous reasons. And they stem from decades and centuries of reasons. But there's a misleading fallacy to sometimes think that bringing jobs or certain types of jobs can all of a sudden resurrect the community. And oftentimes you go back and you look at reasons that companies move to an area. Some of those reasons are associated with high-skilled labor, associated with high-skilled competency. The number of folks that finished high school, the number of folks who may have gone to industrial tech, whether they finished or not. There are some decisions that are made, could be environmental injustice, could be economic racism, could be a whole lot of things that could be associated with it. And one of the things that stands out the most is, for me, who's a person who's ran a job training program and who's been on the ground with folks who are less employable, less employably desired than others, is the skill gap. And that skill gap needs to be bridged so that opportunities such as opportunities not limited to Meyer Energy, other good paying potential jobs and companies can come in and have opportunities to take a look at those types of locations as well. One case in point is the crane business that moved into Chicago. With a decent, decent wage. Another one is not as decent of a wage, but Edsel and Gary, the steel cabinet manufacturing company at the old Bud plant. So, there are some, and it brings a lot of. If you ever arrive at it between 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, you'll see young minorities going to work, walking, getting off the bus, getting dropped off, riding bicycles. And again, sometime around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon as they leave. So there's some greater opportunities besides what's being presented here with the My Energy Project, in my opinion. But it's one thing to voice your concern about. It's another thing to help galvanize and bring those types of businesses to an economically depressed municipality. And so I would like to see the same passion taken to bring those types of opportunities and increase the skill gaps for parents. It's hard to, it's hard to advocate for your child at a school and you're struggling to try to feed them. You got to make some decisions because you're working 2 or 3 jobs or because of the mental health issues that some may suffer from. So it's a valiant effort that's needed on all fronts. And there's a scripture I like to quote. It says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And so, we need to make sure that we sustain our hearts being in the right place so that the right things do happen for the benefit of all of us in Lake County. And that's in summary what I have to say. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. Where?
I'd just like to echo some of the other commissioners here. I thank all of you for taking time out of your schedules to come here tonight.
whether your passion is over Maya, whether your passion is over the Marsh Conservancy, please know that we live in these communities that you are talking about. Our kids are in these communities. As a commission, we're trying to do things to better the quality of life here in Northwest Indiana. We're trying to do everything within our power to responsibly spend your money, our money, in a productive manner to better that quality of life. And again, I thank all of you for your comments. By coming here and asking questions, just one example is the five questions and answers that were generated here by Natalie. I think some of the answers came from the Corps. That's because of the input and coming to these meetings and asking questions. So in that regard, I thank you all. Also want to wish everybody a safe and happy Fourth.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I want to finish and thank everybody that came up and spoke tonight. We get input from you, and we value that input. We don't take it lightly. We don't make our decisions here lightly. One thing I do want to point out is we provide the microphone to everybody on a continuous basis, and we do that with pride. We just want everybody to be civil, and when they come here, to treat everybody with civility. That's all. Our next meeting is going to be July 11th. Hopefully, we'll see you all here again. And with that, make a motion or look for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.